On a Monday, it is a state capitol report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Republicans who control the legislature's budget writing committee, Joint Finance, they added a $3.3 billion tax cut to the state budget as they wrapped up their revisions last week. The two-year spending plan now goes before the full Assembly and Senate. Here's Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu at a news conference Thursday.
We made incredible investments in the healthcare community just on Tuesday. And now we get to wrap this up with an amazing, amazing tax cut plan package that will benefit everybody in the state of Wisconsin.
What do you think of Republicans seeking to cut income and property taxes by more than $3 billion? Do you support more money back in the wallets of income earners and property owners? 800-642-1234. J.R. Ross is editor of WisPolitics. J.R., welcome back to the Ideas Network.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. So we heard the Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu just say there that this tax cut would benefit everybody in the state. Is that true?
Not everybody. Well, the property tax piece, if you're a homeowner or if you own property, yes. The income tax cut is actually going to help about 51% of people who file taxes in Wisconsin. It's geared toward people making between $25,000 and $225,000 or $250,000 in income. That's your Josie Gross income. And obviously, because it's a wide range of pay, the lower you are on that end of that spectrum, the less the benefit is, right? The higher you are, the more of a benefit it is. And Democrats complained in the hearing last week that this benefits those who are better off unfairly. The Republican counter was, look, 2 years ago, they lowered the first two income tax brackets we have in Wisconsin. They said part of helping the economy strengthen, it's time to go to the third bracket. We have four overall. Go to that third bracket and adjust that down by almost a full percentage point because the people who are impacted here are the ones who actually pay taxes. Majority of taxes in Wisconsin are paid by a minority of the population. That's just the way it is because they earn more money. And so they're arguing this is a good way to help strengthen the economy.
Well, to that end, Sean on Twitter is asking, why is the tax relief so slanted toward those who are higher earners? What would you say there?
So because of range. So remember, in Wisconsin, the way it works, the tax brackets, let's just pick a number out of thin air. You make $250,000. The first chunk of your income is taxed at that lowest level, just like it is for anybody making that lowest level of the bracket. Then that next stratification of your income goes to the second bracket. Then the rest of it above 25 grand goes through that third stratification and that tax level. And so because of that, we're all getting taxed the same levels as we go up, but those guys go up higher, right, with what they're making. And so that higher income is being taxed at a lower level if it's signed by Governor Evers and it becomes law and it produces a bigger benefit for them.
What is the impact on businesses?
So, if you file your taxes as an individual rather than as a corporation, that you're going to be impacted by this tax cut. But also there is a proposed repeal of the personal property tax. Now, there's a caveat there. The personal property tax applies to things like if you're a restaurant, you own ovens, you purchase that oven, you begin to pay a property tax on your equipment. All right. But what they did was they put the money to backfill the lost local revenue into the budget, but they don't have the actual repeal in the budget. They have it in a separate bill. And it's kind of an interesting thing that they did. Now, remember, Governor Evers has the power to change bills with his partial veto authority if they spend money. By putting the actual repeal of the tax in a separate piece of legislation, the governor can't rework it with his partial veto pen because there's no spending there. But there's also no guarantee he'll sign that bill, which is working its way through the legislature as we speak. And then the money in the budget would go toward repealing that, backfilling the lost revenue from that tax. So I'm not sure how it's going to play out. The governor hasn't really weighed in yet. So that's going to be something interesting to watch. Does he, A, sign the budget in general, and B, would he sign this bill when he gets to his desk?
If you're just joining us, we're talking about the state budget coming together with J.R. Ross, editor of WisPolitics. You can join in. What do you think of Republicans and Democrats' proposals for state spending? What are your top priorities? What questions do you have about what is and isn't in the budget plan. 800-642-1234. JR, Democrats, they pushed against these tax cuts and they've urged more spending on schools and other government-funded services. Here is Milwaukee State Senator LaTanya Johnson at Joint Finance Committee Thursday.
It's blowing the biggest opportunity that we have, our one-in-a-lifetime opportunity, to invest in our state, in our kids, and in their precious futures.
So what else did you hear out of Democrats on this plan?
Well, they're concerned about a couple of things. One, there is a lot of federal money that Wisconsin's aligned to receive, Wisconsin schools are aligned to receive, through the latest COVID-19 relief package, the American Relief Protection Act.
Mm-hmm.
Even though there's a lot, and I mean a lot of federal money coming between that one and the previous one, Democrats are arguing that we're not investing enough state dollars in education. And that, yes, there is a good deal of money these schools are going to get, but it comes with federal strings and how it can be used. It's supposed to kind of make up for losses incurred due to COVID. Well, that's not the same as getting state money from through the revenue formulas that you can spend on kind of a lot wider range of things. And so they're arguing that schools may end up getting a whole lot of money, but not being able to spend it where they need it, and then being kind of handcuffed as they deal with things like staff or what kids need. So that argument's going to come up in the course of this debate on the floor of the legislature probably next week.
There had been that alarm that Republicans' spending plan for schools could risk disqualifying our state from billions in federal aid. Has that been resolved?
Yes. What they did, though, was they made it part of a tax cut. So in Wisconsin, we have the things called revenue limits. They apply both where there's a per pupil limit for K-12, and there also is a revenue limit on tech colleges.
Mm-hmm.
What that means is each district gets money from the state based on a formula. And then whatever they get below that revenue limit, that spending limit, they can then raise property taxes to hit that amount. Republicans, with the additional state aid they put into schools and tech colleges, put it all in that formula, but kept the spending limit at the same amount. What that means is every dollar pretty much going in an additional state aid is going to drive down property taxes, not to increase billions of schools to spend money. It is going to help, again, if you're a homeowner. But these districts are not going to be spending more state money than they would be otherwise because of all this additional state aid coming in.
So when Governor Evers was running for governor, he vowed to increase school funding so that the state paid for 2/3 of public school costs. And Republicans touted their budget plan for finally achieving the state's goal of 2/3 funding for schools. Let's listen to Budget Committee Co-Chair Senator Howard Markline of Spring Green on Thursday.
I've been in the legislature now for, 10, 11 years, and, it's something that we've dreamed about, we've worked hard on, and in this budget will get us across that goal line.
So get us across that goal line on 2/3, is that true?
Yes, so in the second year of the budget, they will be around 68% of K-12 education costs.
Mm-hmm.
But again, they get there because they keep the spending cap where it is, and drive in more state money. So they are picking up more because they're not going to be spending more in terms of state and property tax dollars that second year of the biennium.
Looking at our state's rainy day fund, the analysts have estimated that tax collections for the current fiscal year would be about $1.4 billion higher than previously estimated. So what does that mean for the rainy day fund?
Well, we have a lot of money that will go in that fund just as it is. So back in January, they are predicting an ending balance in this fiscal year, which is June 30th, of about $1.85 billion, and then $1 billion revenue growth over the next 2 years. They came back a couple weeks ago and said, actually, we're going to have $4.4 billion more in revenue than we thought.
Hmm.
I have never, ever, ever seen revenue numbers like that because the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, which is the nonpartisan budget arm legislature, it comes in every May or June of a budget year and gives a second look at what revenues look like. They use the word unprecedented for tax collections mm-hmm. in this memo. It was unlike anything I've ever seen. And what it means is even just with those revenue numbers alone, you're going to see the rainy day fund go to about $1.5 billion. Now, go back to a decade ago, and there's almost nothing in there. But what Republicans have done is they've also moved to send about $550 million in addition to that three-day fund. The balance will be $2.1 billion. Now, we don't know what the final spending numbers will be in the budget until the governor signs it and everything. But that should be about 10% of revenues in one of the two fiscal years coming up. That is such a high amount. There's an automatic trigger under state law that if we have excess revenues beyond what we expected, half goes into the rainy day fund. Yeah. Until we hit 5% of state expenditures. We are going to eclipse that trigger, and that will no longer have the excess revenue going there. People didn't anticipate that a decade ago. I'll tell you that much. This is
unprecedented. Why are tax revenue estimates so off? Is this normal, calling on your institutional memory of the Legislative Fiscal Bureau?
No, and the only thing that's changed since January when they did the last revenue estimates are two things. One, the American Rescue Plan Act was signed by President Biden. And two, things have gotten directly better with COVID, right? Think back to January where we thought we might be with vaccinations, mm-hmm. where we might be with caseloads. We are seeing dramatic improvements on all those fronts. Things are opening up. People are spending money, right? Because they've been cooped up for a year, year and a half, and they want to get out there and do stuff. So Fiscal Bureau is seeing the signs of that economic recovery, and the American Rescue Plan Act is pumping so much money into the system. I mean, we're talking tons and tons of money that is just juicing everything. It's just giving a supercharge to the economy. Now, the warning is this is, we think, a one-time shot, right? You're talking a big stimulus package. What happens once that stimulus effect wears away? 2 years from now, will we be in the same situation, or might we go back to where we expected to be, you know, pre-ARPA? We don't know. It's a long way away, and I'm not an economist. I'm not going to predict revenues 2.5 years down the road.
But
it is a warning sign for us that we may have to kind of be braced for, okay, that big shot's gone away. Now what? Now what are we going to do?
Wiz Politics editor J.R. Ross giving us analysis on the budget writing process as the legislature's Joint Finance Committee has wrapped up its work. What questions do you have about what is and isn't in the budget? What questions do you have about the budgeting process for a veteran reporter of Wisconsin State House? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap with J.R. Ross on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin is projected to take in billions of dollars more in tax revenue than previously expected over several fiscal years. Republicans have pushed for tax cuts, as we've been talking about, and that's what we saw as the legislature's 16-member budget writing committee wrapped up its work last week. It runs counter to Governor Evers' push for spending much more on schools. What should Wisconsin do with its revenue windfall? How do you return excess revenue in a way that makes our state more economically competitive in the process and in the future? 800-642-1234. We have WIS Politics editor J.R. Ross with us. So, J.R., earlier last week, the Budget Committee, they took up broadband expansion. Democrats and Republicans both want more state funding for broadband. How much do they disagree on the amounts? JR, are you there? I think we're having some difficulty hearing JR Ross as we talk about the budget writing process. JR, can you hear us? I think we've lost JR Ross, but you can join in on the budget. What questions do you have about the budget? What do you see that should be done about the revenue windfall? Would you like to see a tax cut, or should the state fund more services? You can join in at 800-642-1234 as we get J.R. Ross of WIS Politics back on the line, perhaps shaky internet as we were going to talk about broadband, the irony there. What do you see out of the budget and the two-year spending plan? What are your top priorities? Do you think it should go to schools, or what about a tax cut? Join in 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. JR, do we have you back?
Yes, I am.
All right. So broadband, I don't know if you heard the question about the legislature's, budget writing committee looking at broadband expansion. What do you see there?
Well, interestingly, Governor Evers wanted to do about $200 million broadband investment with state dollars, state tax dollars, period. The committee approved $129 million, but of that, $125 million is borrowing. Hmm. Now, it's an interesting approach that you're talking about a rapidly evolving technology that you may take 20 years to pay off the cost of the bonds for the technology, right? So we're not quite sure why that move was made. The best guesses we have are a couple things. One, that maintenance effort we talked about to qualify for the federal funding, the education funding, you have to have your share of state tax dollars going to education and higher ed be the same in these coming fiscal years compared to like this baseline. The more general purpose revenue you spend on something like broadband, the more you have to spend on schools and higher ed to qualify for that federal money. The less GPR, the lower the bar. So maybe they're trying to save general purpose revenue there. Number two, there are a number of initiatives already underway to expand broadband. Charter Communications announced a $600 million effort just in March. The governor's announced $100 million from the federal ARPA funds. So that's north of $700 million. We don't really know what it would take to cover the entire state with broadband.
Mm-hmm.
There's a memo from the Fiscal Bureau that said the cost could be between $700 million and $1.4 billion. It's a huge range. So there's a question of, do we need to put that much more in right now? Should we maybe see what's going on in the private sector and these other efforts and let them play out first and then tap that spending or that borrowing if needed?
Yeah, and you mentioned the American Rescue Plan there and what is coming from the federal government and its piece for broadband and supporting expansion there. You know, do you see that as a significant influence?
Yeah, and, you know, the interesting thing is the federal money doesn't go as far as state money in terms of paying for expansion. The federal money comes with strings. One of those strings is you have to have an upload speed of 100 megabytes per second and a download speed of the same level. With the state money, you can do 25 and 3. That's a much lower bar. Mm. It's much cheaper, therefore, from the technology to other places. And one of the things is in Wisconsin, it's not necessarily the reach. I think we're at like 94% of the state has access. That last 6% is really rural and a really hard build out, right? It's always the last mile. It's
that last mile.
But it's being able to afford it. I think we're like in the upper 60, 68% roughly for people who have it. So people aren't subscribing to it. Why? Can they not afford it? Is it not feasible? You know, all these questions about maybe that's more of an issue for us than it is the infrastructure. Although if you are in that 6% of the state doesn't have it, you definitely want to have access to it.
Let's bring in John and Boaz. John, what are your thoughts on the budget?
Invest in the future. Fund improving tourism. Because Wisconsin is number one in the ratio of tourism to industry in our nation. We have the most beautiful state in the north, central, you know, United States. Let's talk about the trail system that we have for hiking and biking. Well, how about side-by-sides and ATVs and snowmobiles? That brings in huge tourism revenue.
John, thanks. We're short on time, and I want to get JR to respond there. What does the spending plan do for tourism?
They are investing in tourism, trying to increase the amount of spending there. And it's like what the rest of the budget Republicans did. They basically took current law and sprinkled in a little bit more money here and there, the places that they thought were priorities, without going to where Governor Evers wanted to on a lot of his priorities.
So looking back at the committee's work since Governor Evers introduced his budget proposal, what were your biggest surprises?
Well, the revenue that came out. I mean, I've never seen it. I'll never see anything like that ever again, I'm going to guess. So that was probably the biggest thing, just the amount of money they were able to spend or put toward tax cuts because of ARPA. That wasn't really something we were seeing. What I'm watching now is, what does Governor Evers do? I think we talked before that he had a couple of red lines, right? One of them was expanding Medicaid through the Affordable Care Act.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do that. One of them was funding education. Well, they did that, but not the way he wanted, right? They funded education to drive down property taxes, but they also hit that maintenance of effort requirement. So when they send this budget to him, what will Governor Evers do? And I've been asking people about this constantly for the last couple of weeks. And the point they've made to me is a couple of things. One, If Evers doesn't sign this budget, he vetoes the entire thing, Republicans are not going to do another one. They've told us that already. So he's in a box right now. If he doesn't sign this, he's at fault for not reaching the maintenance of effort. And he just makes the $3.3 or $4 billion tax cut. That's a tough thing to do just off from reelection.
JR, always good to talk with you. Thank you for joining us.
Have a great day.
You too. JR Ross is editor of WisPolitics. Just ahead, dozens of Wisconsin businesses have voiced opposition to a series of bills aimed at election reform. We talk about it with a Milwaukee private equity fund manager. We'll be back for more of the State Capitol Report after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.